This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
U.S. officials say there's growing evidence Pakistan's ISI spy agency encouraged a Pakistani militant group, the Haqqani Network, to carry out last week's attack on the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters in Kabul. A U.S. Senate committee voted this week to make $1 billion in U.S. aid to flood-ravaged Pakistan, conditional on a crackdown on militant groups. Former Afghan President Burhanuddin Rabbani was killed Tuesday in a suicide bombing. A survivor of the attack, an aide to the former president, said Rabbani was lured to his death by the bomber, who claimed he was representing a mysterious figure mediating between the government and the Taliban's senior leadership. NATO leaders Wednesday authorized a 90-day extension of the alliance's mission in Libya. NATO began enforcement of a four-month no-fly zone over Libya in March. NATO fighter jets have flown more than 20,000 sorties over Libya, dropping thousands of bombs to take out Muammar Gaddafi's command centers and military materiel. Hundreds of civilians have been reported killed. Amnesty International says it has uncovered evidence that rebel forces in Libya have committed gross human rights abuses, some amounting to war crimes. The rights group also reveals the Western media deliberately ignored or covered up the widespread atrocities. In a report released Tuesday, Amnesty accuses the rebels of unlawful killings, arbitrary arrests, and widespread torture of civilians, mostly black foreigners. The report also confirms widely held concerns about the NTC's ability to unite the country and oversee a peaceful transition. Many attacks are focused on blacks suspected of being sympathetic to ousted dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The report states angry groups of supporters of the February 17th revolution shot, hanged, and lynched dozens of captured soldiers and suspected foreign mercenaries, and did so with total impunity. Gaddafi's supporters have accused NATO of killing up to 800 civilians. Amnesty says both the NTC and Gaddafi's forces are to blame. U.S. combat troops in Iraq may be heading to the exits, but the U.S. government's enormously expensive intervention there is hardly coming to an end. U.S. officials are planning to expand the gargantuan embassy in Baghdad, a heavily fortified, self-contained compound the size of Vatican City, by far the largest embassy the world has ever seen. Inside its high walls, guard towers and machine gun emplacements ring not just the embassy itself, but more than 20 other buildings. The number of personnel under the authority of the U.S. ambassador will swell from 8,000 to about 16,000.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You are listening to the Rule of Law Radio Network at ruleoflawradio.com. Live free speech talk radio at its best.
Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia. It's the 30th of October 2011. I'm Herewood Fenton. Welcome to another show. Today's show is going to be all about the Qantas dispute. And I've put this show together because of the extreme nature of the news. And of course, it may not be that apparent to people in other parts of the world. I've noticed it hasn't been on a lot of international news from overseas websites that I've looked at, but in Australia it is going to be the top news story for the next few days, if not longer, because of course Qantas is currently shut down. The entire fleet of planes has been grounded worldwide, and it really is quite an extraordinary situation. And I've actually got John Bursell coming on shortly. John is a Qantas aircraft maintenance engineer, and he's also a member of the Qantas Union. So John will be able to explain to us some of the details about what is going on and his opinion on it. Of course, he is constrained somewhat actually being a Qantas employee. So I will be the one taking a very strong point of view in the coming interview, which will be in about 10 minutes' time. Now, I've got a page here from ABC News. What is the Qantas dispute all about? Let me just read some of that as a prelude to our interview. Qantas has announced the immediate grounding of its entire fleet as a long-running industrial dispute with employees, including pilots and engineers, comes to a head. Here are some facts about the standoff. Industrial action by three unions representing engineers, baggage and catering staff, and long-haul pilots has been ongoing for several months over pay and conditions. Qantas says that the strike action had until Saturday resulted in 70,000 passengers being affected, more than 600 flights cancelled, and 7 aircraft grounded. More than 68,000 customers affected since grounding at 5 p.m. Saturday. So 5 p.m. Saturday was the point at which the airlines were grounded. 447 flights have been cancelled, and this is a news update from about 4 p.m. On Sunday, today being Sunday the 30th of October. The fleet grounding will impact 108 planes at 22 international airports, domestically and internationally. Now, a couple of other points to make. One being that, and this is an absolutely crucial one from the point of view of the average person and from the point of view of the customers of Qantas, is that what the CEO of Qantas, by the name of Joyce, let me just get that name up for you. That's Alan Joyce, the CEO of Qantas. His decision to ground Qantas was made with no warning to passengers. Now, in the event of industrial action, the unions have agreed to give 72 hours notice to the airline if they're actually going to do something which is going to affect operations. That's 3 days. But the CEO of Qantas made a unilateral decision suddenly, and the customers, the actual paying customers, people traveling, had no warning of what was about to happen. People were on their way to the airport. People were checking in. A lot of people were checking in. Some people were actually on the plane. I mean, the whole situation was just out of control. It was just a total disregard for people, total disregard for the customer, and a total disregard for the brand, for the business, for the brand name, to treat people that way. And it exceeds any kind of disruption that would have been even possible by the unions, because the unions do adhere to these guidelines. So that's one point to really bear in mind. The other point being that that Alan Joyce was given a 71% pay rise on Friday, just as the negotiations over pay and conditions was reaching its climax, that the CEO of the company was given its massive pay rise. So again, these facts really are going to overshadow anything that the airline says to justify its position. But let's just return to the points we were going through before in terms of what the Qantas dispute is all about. It says here, the dispute has cost Qantas $70 million in damages, with costs mounting at $50 million each week. Grounding the entire fleet will cost $20 million a day. In July, Qantas pilots on international routes began their first industrial action in 45 years, with unauthorized in-flight announcements telling passengers about their dispute. Rolling strikes by engineers also began, delaying thousands of passengers. In August, Qantas announced a restructure, which will see 1,000 jobs slashed as part of a new emphasis on Asia, a move met with a firestorm of criticism from unions. Later that month, Qantas announced that it had more than doubled its full-year net profit to $250 million, but warned of challenging times ahead as it revamps its loss-making international arm. The airline flies to 208 destinations in 46 countries, operating more than 5,700 flights a week across all of its brands domestically, and more than 970 international flights. It moved 44.5 million passengers in the year ended June 2011. So Qantas is a big airline by any description. I did read somewhere else that this current action is affecting about 80,000 passengers right now around the world. Okay, for some more background to the story, I'm going to play a short clip here from the ABC. And this is, I believe, an interview with Alan Joyce defending the Qantas action.
Well, without further ado, let's cross to Alan Joyce in Sydney, the Qantas CEO. Alan Joyce, you said yesterday that the industrial action was killing Qantas slowly. Have you decided to kill it quickly instead?
No, Alan, we had to bring this to a head because over the last 9 months we've been in negotiations and not getting anywhere with these outrageous demands from the unions. And in fact, the industrial action that was taking place was causing us huge damage. We've had 70,000 passengers disrupted, nearly $70 million in cost to the airline. Our forward bookings had collapsed. We were in a position where we were going to be losing $15 million a week. And we were in a position where the unions were saying they're going to slow bake us, quoting one of the union leaders. And unfortunately, after the AGM, which took place on Friday, the rhetoric even got worse, with people talking about 48-hour stoppages, people talking about further damage to our customers. So in the long run, we had to stop this, we had to bring it to a close, and the only alternative available to us under Fair Work Australia was to lock out the employees that are involved in that industrial action.
But the full grounding that you announced yesterday and actually implemented yesterday is a massive loss of faith with your customers and with the staff who aren't involved in the dispute. I mean, it's a long way back for you now, especially with competitors trying to pick you off.
Well, I have to say, Alan, I completely disagree with that. I think it's absolutely the opposite. If we hadn't have taken this action, we would have had another year of continuous disruptions. We would have another year of lost confidence for Qantas. And we would have had another year of tens of thousands of passengers every week being disrupted. We would have had all of those jobs of the people that weren't taking these actions at risk. I've done this to bring certainty to those customers, to bring certainty to the employees, and stop this slow bleeding of Qantas. Qantas, the slow roasting of Qantas that these unions were doing over a year that would have killed the airline, killed its brand, killed its customer loyalty and destroyed the jobs of thousands of Australians.
But I say it again, I mean, aren't you really at risk of killing the airline quickly? I mean, this is such a dramatic impact on your brand and your market share. I mean, this is really a turning point for Qantas, isn't it?
Well, I actually do think it will be a positive turning point because we get this out of the way. And the support that I've been getting, Alan, from business leaders who are our biggest customers across the country that have huge contracts with Qantas. And, you know, I apologise to all of our customers for the disruption that this is causing. And the business leaders saying that you needed to do this, you needed to bring certainty back to the schedule, and that you're in danger of losing our business unless you did something. And that small businesses contact me, sending me emails. I've been overwhelmed with the support that we're getting for the action that we've done, because people saw that this was not sustainable for the airline, that we couldn't give in to these union demands, that we had to do something. And this was, I keep on saying, this was the only alternative we had under Fair Work Australia. The status quo would have been the death of Qantas. This brings it to a head, allows us to get back certainty to our operation, allows us to give certainty to our customers and to our employees, and that has to be the important thing
But are you saying that, in effect, that if you don't win this dispute and get your way with the unions, that Virgin or Jetstar will have to become Australia's national flag carrier because it can't be Qantas?
Well, I've said for some time, Alan, and other commentators like Dick Smith and other commentators out there say that Qantas has no right for it to existence. Qantas has to be flexible and to adapt to actually survive in the future. And we've been around for 90 years because we have changed. We've adapted to different market circumstances.
Okay, I'll just leave it there. That's quite a long clip, and you can find that on our show notes. I'm going to make some analysis of my own based on what I've heard, what I've read. I think that Alan Joyce is essentially an executioner. I think that what we're seeing here is the operation of globalism, globalization, that really dark face of what happens with global forces as they start to, in a predatory way, take over more and more of the sovereignty of nations. Because I think his real agenda is to destroy Qantas. I may be wrong, you know, I may be proven wrong in this, but I've seen this type of behavior, and he is like, he's like an assassin or an executioner. And he's going to do his role by taking this outrageous action that is totally irrational. I mean, he's saying that they had no choice, but he's saying that they had to take it to Fair Work Australia. Well, we'll find out more from John Bursell about this shortly, but surely common sense would say that you could have gone to Fair Work Australia without stopping the airline, without grounding all the planes and forcing all the, you know, destroying the business. It's irrational. It's illogical. I think it's also deliberately deceitful. I think there are probably international forces at work that are happy to see Qantas destroyed, and this guy is the agent that is going to bring that about. And as such, he is one of the international criminal elite, lackeys of the criminal elite, I should say, who basically are wrecking our society in order to impose their control and their order, and are quite willing to just destroy people's lives and in the end wreck modern civilization. But that's just my theory. Back after the break with John Bursell to discuss this and more.
Corn and Bullion is a family-owned and operated business that has helped many families and friends in protecting their assets, and we would like to do the same for you. In addition to coins and bullion, we now offer Patriot safes, ammunition, Berkey water products, gift certificates, wristbands, and our new silver pool, a new way to guarantee silver by prepaying at a locked price. We can even help you set up a metals IRA account. Call us at 512-646-6440 for more details. As always, we buy, sell, and trade precious metals and cater to those with all sizes of coin collections. We're located at 7304 Burnett Road, Suite A, about a half a mile north of Koenig, next to the Ikebon Sushi and the Genie Car Wash. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 5. Visit us at CapitalCoinAndBullion.com or call 512-646-6440.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner, or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com, or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back to the show. Well, I have on the line now John Bursell, licensed aircraft maintenance engineer and member of the Qantas Union. John has been, you know, at the centre of this whole thing that's now unfolding that everyone knows about. And I imagine, John, you're not probably having a great day thinking about what's coming this week. How are things with you?
Well, I just got a Don't Come Monday letter from the company delivered to my door by a courier. So, yeah, I don't feel particularly well about everything at the moment. But interesting that this all unraveled. I am a delegate for the Association of Licensed Aircraft Engineers, but I don't speak on their behalf in this matter or don't speak on behalf of Qantas. And just to get straight, my purpose here is simply to spread information about the real situation as I see it for the benefit of Qantas and for the benefit of the flying public. But anyway, I went into work last night on overtime, which I hadn't done for quite a few months because we've had ongoing overtime bans. Our association, in response to Qantas grounding, five and then seven aircraft have responded by allowing engineers to work overtime again to get the planes back in the air. And that's exactly what I was doing last night as I walked into the terminal building just as the announcement was made. And, yeah, I felt like I was hitting the head with a bit of 4v2. That's pretty much how it felt.
So you weren't actually expecting that. Even after the grounding, you weren't expecting the lockout, essentially.
No, but I mean, I can definitely see the argument from both sides of the fence, and you know, I'm well aware of what Qantas's aims are with this. We probably were expecting it further down the track, possibly, and we're well aware that the Qantas management, especially Alan Joyce and obviously the board, want the government to intervene in this matter. So we were expecting them to do that, but the Minister of Transport and also obviously Gillard and other MPs within inside the Labor government were expecting them to ask for the government to intervene before they would do anything as drastic as shutting, you know, the oldest continually operating airline in the world down on the spot. You know, that was just such a crazy move. I mean, it's been described in some press as terrorism. And I suppose that's not unfounded. You know, it's a very drastic thing to do. An airline that's making good profit, even with the industrial action, it's still making profit, especially domestically. An airline that has $3 billion in the bank and an airline that has continuously made profit for the 90, you know, plus years of its operation, to shut it down because you can't get your way with the most important union groups in the company, the ones that, in the case of the pilots and the licensed engineers, the ones that actually created and founded the company. It's an extremely drastic move and just goes to show that this board and Alan Joyce are absolutely determined to get what they want. And I wonder if you know what that is, Eric, from what you've seen.
I know you're a little bit constrained in terms of what you can say, because obviously you're in a pretty delicate position, but I'm not constrained at all. And from my position, I look at Alan Joyce and I see a hitman. I see an assassin whose job is basically to bring the company down. Now, that is a type of a predatory action which is irrational from any kind of normal business economic perspective. But from the way the predatory nature of the globalist, I guess, mega agenda or macro agenda works, it may well be an intention to do this. I mean, what do you say to that? Just conceptually, that there may be those who actually will be quite pleased to see Qantas go down. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't think that you can make a rational case that's the aim, to take the Qantas name out of off the company register in Australia. I don't think that's the case. I think by the actions Joyce has actually undertaken with this shutting the airline down, I think that demonstrates that they want Qantas to survive, even though that might sound a little strange coming from me. But I think that is a demonstration that they want an outcome and they want certainty around what it is that they want to do. Now, what they want to do has been going on for many years. You know, it started with Jeff Dixon with the Jetstar brand being launched, which was something that was considered quite bold and probably not a workable option. Many other airlines have tried to create a subsidiary, a cheaper subsidiary. And Qantas has been supporting that operation since day one, especially internationally. And the argument can clearly be made that Jetstar has been used to destroy the international side of Qantas.
Right.
And, you know, in a way to break the company into a smaller size and then, you know, go through the process of breaking the unions and then re-sort of energizing the company further down the track and maybe then rebranding other airlines, you know, the subsidiaries that come out of Qantas, like Qantas Asia and and Jetstar, rebranding them back to Qantas possibly. This is something that was talked about when all this was going down many, many years ago. This was the view of the unions, the view of the social commentators that were looking at it from a, you know, what corporations get up to these days. We're seeing it in that light, that they would use Jetstar as a wedge to then undermine and destabilise Qantas to the point where they could get the changes in that they want in Qantas to make it another Jetstar, really, in a lot of ways.
Okay, so maybe the agenda is not to totally destroy Qantas, but to basically cripple it, and that will, of course, strengthen Jetstar. And then when Qantas comes back online again, it'll be completely under the control of those, you know, who wish to basically push it in whatever direction they want it to go. But I guess that comes pretty close to destroying it, but not actually the final coup de grace of actually wiping it out completely. But it would inevitably suffer a huge loss of business, and share price will collapse surely this week. I mean,
well,
we can expect
that. I mean, it already has. I mean, Joyce has presided over a halving of the share price and a destruction of the brand. Well over 50% of the brand has been destroyed. Now, the company's view is, I'd say this, you know, well, you know, this appears to be the view, and this is what Dick Smith said this morning. Was the first thing that the ABC came up with this morning. I was up to the wee hours waiting for the outcome of the hearings at Fair Work Australia. And anyway, he came on and basically said, look, Qantas wants to compete globally. They want to be, you know, a large multinational corporation that competes globally with its brand. But they view that in the long term, they simply cannot afford to have Australian-paid jobs when they don't need to. Anywhere that they can offshore or outsource any labour at all will be done to get the bottom line looking healthier and to allow them to sort of become a bigger airline in the global situation. But the cost with that, which this is the argument that the unions will make, is that the cost to their outsourcing so far has been far in excess of what they've saved. So because Qantas is such an unusual situation, it's sort of like we're at the end of a wave of corporatism and globalism hitting Australia now with Qantas, the iconic airline that, you know, has the best maintenance and the best pilots and was, you know, the best airline 10 years ago in the world, and has been slowly being destroyed under its, you know, under its management. But the management argue that it's doing that to give it sustainability for the next 10, 20, 30 years. So, you know, they have a clear argument around this. And this is when it comes down to the point that Dick Smith made. Even though a lot of people would disagree with what he said today, I can see some worth in what he said, because he said the government must intervene, because the way the world's heading, everybody defers to the cheapest price. Okay, so the trend is that over, you know, the last sort of 10, 20 years, people are deferring to the cheaper price. Now that Qantas's reputation is not as strong as it was, people are more likely to defer to the cheaper price as well. So it's sort of a situation that's now rolling in that direction. It's very difficult to stop that ball heading that direction. And really, as Dick Smith alluded to, and as quite a few other commentators that are looking at this in a very rational, clear way, if Qantas wants to lose, you know, 10,000, 20,000 jobs, you know, from Australia in the long term, and if they want to put up with the fact that we can't maintain our own aircraft in Australia and we won't have the safest airline in the world, if they want to put up with that idea and cop it sweet, then that's fine. We're heading that way. But if the government decides that it wants a national carrier, it wants to do its own, it wants to have maintenance in Australia for basis of national security and just for, you know, the fact that we can do that work here in Australia, the intellectual property that's involved in that, you know, my job takes 10 to 20 years to train for. So it's not something you can ramp up immediately. So consequently, if they want that to be maintained, this is when the government has to act. The government has to regulate so that those jobs can stay inside Australia. Now, obviously, with the high Australian dollar, there's special other considerations at the moment. And the longevity and the stability of the aviation industry in Australia is underpinned by government action and legislation now and regulation. So without them doing that, you know, you can't see Qantas stopping heading this way. The only thing that can happen at the moment, which we're seeing happen, is the unions that have the power still, which is the pilots and the engineers, are the only ones that can really stop the airline, saying, no, we're not going to allow you to do this. So the employees are revolting against a future that they know is going to lead to possibly their individual job being lost.
Okay, thanks for that. That's a really excellent summary of the current situation. We're just going to break, and if you can hang on for another couple of segments, it would be great. John, I want to get into more of the issues about the dispute. So we'll be right back after this break.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Could printed books soon be a thing of the past? Apparently, a lot of kids these days are exchanging book pages for web pages. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you what's happening to literacy.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Forget books and magazines. A recent study by the UK's National Literacy Trust found that text messages are the number one reading material for kids today, and numbers 2 and 3 are email and Facebook. That's not surprising, since cell phones and computers outnumber novels in most homes. We adults are obviously not setting a very good example. Of course, text messages are not known for their literary quality or for their outstanding spelling and grammar. In fact, they're some of the worst writing around. So if you want your kids to develop basic English skills, tell them to unplug from Facebook and turn off Twitter, then hand them an old-fashioned book. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Welcome back to the show. Today I'm talking to John Bursell, licensed aircraft maintenance engineer, regular on Truth News, and currently embroiled in the Qantas dispute. And John, you were saying you received a Don't Come Monday letter. Now, does that also apply to all other Qantas staff? Like, basically, are all Qantas staff now currently locked out of their jobs? Is that the current situation?
Yeah, well, the situation at present is that the airline has been grounded since Saturday, about 4 p.m., and no one's been locked out yet, but as of 8 p.m. on Monday, the unions that are involved in industrial action at the moment will be locked out.
Right, right. So the unions that are involved in the industrial action will be locked out, and how many people does that involve? How many staff does that involve?
Well, it's approximately around about 3,000 people. It'd be a bit more than that. It could be approaching 4,000 people in total, to my understanding. Oh, sorry, not including the TWU. I was just thinking about the pilots and the engineers who I'm involved with. Yeah, the TWU as well would probably include many thousands more. So possibly, around about 10,000 people, I imagine. I don't really know how many people work for the TWU, but it includes catering staff as well. So It could be getting towards 20,000 people, but it's a lot of people. As far as what are quintessential to the operation, the pilots and the engineers, the international pilots, which also fly 767s domestically, and the licensed aircraft maintenance engineers, the ones that certify for the aircraft to fly. So basically, the aircraft can't fly without us there.
So what about the pilots and flight attendants who does it affect all pilots and flight attendants?
No, the flight attendants aren't involved in this dispute.
Okay,
Successively been white-handed and split up over the years, and they've allowed their paying conditions to be destroyed for new members and allowed offshoring of a lot of jobs already because they felt they were in a position where they were quite easily replaced. So they went down the
the track of grandfathering conditions for the people that are already there and allowing the company to have its way with all other labour from that point on. So they're pretty much, they're not involved in the disagreement at the moment at all.
Okay, okay.
And that's really what they want from us. They want a situation, you know, they're prepared to grandfather certain sections of the company with paying conditions, but they really want to go down this this course of outsourcing and overseeing as much as they can to the what they call world's best practice. I've talked about that before, which
yeah,
is world's
we did a whole
best
show.
Profit practice. It's not the safest practice. It's not the best practice for the Australian economy. It's not the best practice for the employees. It's not the best practice for the travelling public. It's the best practice for profit.
Right. And in regard to the pilots, what percentage of pilots is going to be, I guess, locked out or basically, you know,
all the international pilots. So, okay. You know, that includes, you know, there's two sections of the pilots. We have the domestic operation, which is 737. And you know, obviously Qantas Link's not involved. But basically we've got the 737 fleet, and then all other pilots are international pilots that fly the Airbuses and the 767 and 747. So, yeah, basically it's all the large aircraft pilots are out of the picture as of Monday at 8 p.m.
And does that mean, okay, they're not to turn up to work, and doesn't matter where they are, they might be overseas, but they're still obviously not working. Does that mean they're also...
I imagine the company will arrange for those people to get home, but
right.
The whole thing is that we don't expect this dispute to last beyond today.
Right.
You know, the government will intervene, and obviously Julia Gillard had the power the minute that Alan Joyce announced the granting of Qantas, she could have acted under the Fair Work Act her powers that would have put the airline immediately back in the air. She had that option, but she's chosen to allow the full bench of the Fair Work Australia Commission to investigate and to come up with a ruling themselves, which hopefully will be achieved today.
So what could she have said that would have allowed the planes to start flying again? What could she have said yesterday that would have made a difference?
Well, she can just decree that no, Qantas is not shut down and should recommence business.
Really?
And, based on the fact that it's damaging the Australian economy and it's left people stranded. There was people at Sydney Airport that were medical emergencies that were in transfer to different places in Australia that were just stranded at the airport, you know.
Yeah.
And people that are coming, going to funerals and weddings and, you know, it's like you mentioned earlier, it's just a terrible thing that the National Carrier of Australia has just been stopped dead by a CEO that has basically picked up the ball and taken it home. Doesn't want to play.
I think also, John, in some of the coverage that I was looking at last night, they were showing people at the airports, people saying, oh, we're very frustrated. But I think it's more than frustration. I think it's, you know, they didn't really, they did a pretty soft coverage on it on the ABC. You know, they were saying, oh, we're frustrated. We were going on a holiday and now we have to go back home. And yeah, that's actually the least part of it. I mean, as you're saying, there could be medical emergencies. This can really disrupt people's lives, and it's a really serious situation. I think it's been a little bit underplayed in terms of what the real effect of this is. And, of course, there is talk about a class action lawsuit, and I really hope that that is done, regardless of what happens, regardless of what the outcome is. I really hope that those affected by this financially, medically, whatever, actually take on a class action lawsuit against the airline, because they mustn't be allowed to simply get away with this. Just from our point of view, I mean, you've got your issues with the industrial dispute, but they just can't be allowed to get away with it. That's my feeling. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a matter for the courts. But you know, if we just look historically, it's never happened before, and no one expected it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been described in the press as terrorism. You know, the Australian public and the Qantas staff. And you know, I definitely appreciate that sentiment. You know, I mean, there's people that. There's no reason for this. That's the whole thing. The company's solvent. The staff are there working. There's no bans from either the pilots or the engineers. We've actually had a hiatus in the industrial action. Engineering wise, as I said, I was actually in work on overtime when it all happened. So we're actively helping the company to get going again after we have caused its operation some damage over the last weeks and months. And that's been recognised, and we're out there attempting to resolve that to get everything working properly again. Because our aim, obviously, is to cause financial pain, which is our only way of dealing with the company, so that it will deal with us and hopefully give us job security. To just shut down the airline for no real reason besides it's just a bold stunt, to scare the people that are acting lawfully under the Fair Work Act to come to the table and allow Qantas to do what it likes. That's really the situation, you know. So, you know, consequently, the people that are caught in the middle of a travelling public, and I can understand why they would be enraged and will be looking for compensation.
Yeah, and of course, let's actually just have a look at the strategy of the airline and see what its rational objective is. So obviously there is some reason why they're doing it that they think is good for them. How is it good for them? And, you know, because to me, I can't see how it's good for anyone what they've done unless there is a predatory plan to basically destroy Qantas, as we were saying before. I mean, you're basically saying that's not the case, but that's the only what I would say logical explanation for why someone might do this. If there was some predatory thing about to happen, and they wanted to maybe let other carriers come into Australia to basically take over most of the air traffic, and that maybe there's been some backdoor deal done, and this is totally speculative, I know, but, you know, that there could have been some kind of corporate, international level deals done whereby we're just sort of moving the money and moving the business offshore. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't think that case can be made successfully. I mean, all these things, we don't really know what's going on. I think it's pretty clear that, they'll say what they have to say to get what they want to get done, and they haven't been clear in their plans. But we know, that this offshoring and these subsidiaries and lowering the price of labour to world's best practice is the aim. So, by getting the government to intervene, then it takes it out of Qantas's, the board's hands, really, when the government intervenes and will decide on this industrial action. We believe it won't be to our advantage to have it heard in front of the bench and resolved that way, because really it won't deal with probably a lot of the problems. It'll probably be more of a situation where it'll be a CPI rise and a status quo type arrangement, which really doesn't get us any further down the track. But it will allow Qantas then to make an argument that it's the government that's prevented it from being profitable, I suppose. So maybe that's what it's all about. It's about forcing the government to get involved so it then can be blamed
Okay.
Further down the track, and maybe that's what's going on. But what can be certain is that the Australian government has the ability and the interest of the Australian public, if they're interested, to resolve this problem permanently. You know, they can put in place legislation and act in a way that can secure Australian jobs around maintenance and that can allow Qantas to operate in the way it's always operated, because that's really the sentiment that's coming from the public, is they want their old Qantas back. Now, sure, they mightn't be prepared to pay the extra money to have the service that they used to have, but there's ways of the government helping, like other governments in the world with their airlines, helping Qantas to see, maintenance and pilots and fair wages and conditions for its workers. One thing we haven't talked about, the transport workers, you're talking about guys that load aircraft with bags that are on $20 an hour. Now, that's not a lot of money. I mean, most labourers, people out there working in the building industry wouldn't work for as little as $20 an hour doing hard work. But these guys do, and they do it day in, day out in the wet weather, in the wind and the hail. And, they're only on a very small wage, and they still refuse to even deal with these people.
Yeah, good point. Okay, we've got one more segment to come. John, just stand by and we'll be right back.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2. Why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, "Is that why we got the page to not come in today?" End quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they'd been in an all-night stakeout, or that they'd been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Mirabelle? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. Today we're talking about the Qantas dispute, and John Bursell is giving us some inside information about what's happening. John, are you... Are you expecting that this will be resolved by Monday and that you will actually be back at work? Is that your expectation, or is that your hope?
Well, of course, it's all our hopes that we'll get the planes back in the air. Hopefully tomorrow morning or maybe this evening, if the commission can act to resolve the dispute. As I was saying, the government and the company are chasing a dismissal of the situation, so basically a prevention of the bargain, or stopping of the bargaining period, and prevention of further industrial action. If that happens, we'll be back to work. But as I said, if the bench rules on behalf of the unions that are carrying out lawful action, then they will only simply suspend the industrial action, which Qantas is saying may not allow them to continue to operate, even though they have no reason not to operate. They're trying to use an argument in the commission at the moment, saying that fatigue and stress and distractions are making the airline unsafe now under the current situation. So they're pulling the safety card now, which is quite funny, I suppose, in a way, because our argument has been around safety, around aircraft safety. Our argument with the company, and now they're saying that their action has stressed us to the point where we can't carry out our work safely. So it's a very bizarre situation.
So that's a really worrying theme, if that's actually a possibility. Because, I mean, if this grounding continues, it can only last a couple more days if it's not to be totally destructive. Like, if they manage to get it back running tomorrow, it'll still be massively disruptive probably for the rest of the week because of all of the flights that have been cancelled, and it'll just be really hard to get going again, won't it? But I mean, every day that this continues, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. One thing I just want to ask you,
said, Gillard, if that decision's made and then Qantas puts a gun to Gillard's head and says we're still not going to operate, then she can act and she can resolve the matter immediately and put everyone back to work. There's a 21-day bargaining period, and then there's a ruling from the bench. So I think that's the situation that will probably happen anyway. I can't see Julia Gillard allowing this to continue to the point where we have a lockout of staff, because that's just sort of, it's just completely unreasonable and it's unheard of, and it will cause massive damage to the Australian economy, you know, yeah. and the confidence in Australian travel.
But so how does she have the power to do that? Because Qantas
is... under the Fair Work Act, there's emergency powers.
Emergency powers.
It's basically just prevent, terrible damage to the Australian economy and or for security and in emergency reasons. You know, look, we need Qantas in the air. Qantas is the national carrier.
Right,
we carry defence personnel. We carry, parliamentarians. We carry when there's an emergency around Australia, we carry their emergency services. You know, we're the link, really to the government, to the aviation industry. And that's the way it's always been. And that's something that the government can't afford to have missing.
But Qantas is a totally private company, right? The company, the government...
It's governed under the Qantas Sales Act, which maintains a majority of shareholders being Australian, and there's other things that the intent of that act is to maintain Qantas as an Australian company, and supporting Australian jobs. And this is where some people are saying that the act, Qantas has got around it by opening their subsidiaries and running its business down, which has never stated that as its aim. But it's interesting that Joyce is actually using that sort of language now, that he's prepared to tear the company apart if it's required. To make it profitable.
Sure. Just want to ask you your opinion on Alan Joyce's statement earlier today, where he said that he had no choice. This is the position that he's taking, is that his only choice, his only alternative was to ground the airline. And just it seems counterintuitive to me that there was no other choice. Could he have not gone to Fair Work Australia without grounding the airline? Why and why not?
He could have asked the Prime Minister, could have asked Fair Work Australia, could have asked the government to intervene. That's right, he's got all those choices. He's got other choices as well, which are actually to enter into negotiation with the parties. As I said before, Qantas is not prepared to give any guarantees around job security. Now, there's many aspects of the business that are good, working aspects of the maintenance business that can be argued that they are the best practice in the world and come at a good and fair and reasonable price. Now, why he can't step in and say, okay, we're going to guarantee that we're going to keep those operations running, that would, the long-term success of the airline is not affected by that. I'd say that it was boosted by that. And the brand status is also boosted by having the heavy maintenance done in Australia. There's lots of choices and considering making logical and reasoned decisions around what's good for the business would resolve the dispute, in my view.
Yeah, and it seems like the actions that are being taken are the opposite.
They want absolute control of the business. That's what it's about. They don't want unions involved. They don't want staff having any sort of purchase in the company of its direction. You know, that's really what the management's about. It just wants to be able to do what it wants and take the business in any direction it deems fit. You know, that's what it's saying the shareholders want, and that's what it's going to do. And that doesn't include doing things that are rational or reasonable necessarily at this time.
It's almost like war, isn't it? It feels like a war situation. I mean, they're prepared to destroy their own share price, to hurt their brand, to all this collateral damage to the customers, and that's all okay because it's a bit like the shock doctrine, you know, the disaster capitalism.
Like the shock doctrine. That's a good analogy.
It is, isn't it? It's like it's disaster capitalism. It's like let's cause a catastrophe, and then from that we'll rebuild from the ashes. That's almost. We do see that happening. We see it happening in war zones. And
to be fair, like really, the position of our association on these matters has been that it's us or the board as well. Like we're in that same sort of. Obviously, we're not trying to destroy. The brand and we don't want to stop the public getting to its destination. That's actually, we've actually geared our industrial campaign around making sure that we keep getting the passengers to the destination. That's the way we've been going. But the company's now, taken this drastic action where basically they just, put the company on hold and, no one gets paid, no one makes any money. And something has to happen.
Yeah.
But it's such a drastic measure. I don't think we've probably seen anything like it in the history of the world. That a solvent company that has that is making profit locks out its workers. You know, it's pretty bizarre, isn't it?
It is pretty bizarre. One thing I think, you know, in support of the union action that I read about today was that as part of some of the actions that were done, one was that the pilots were actually making announcements that were not, you know, they didn't have permission to do this, obviously, but they were making announcements to the passengers in flight about what the industrial action was. And that seemed to me like an intelligent thing to do. That it's not going to disrupt anything. It's not going to stop the planes flying, but it's still going to be very powerful. And obviously the airlines hated it. Can you give me any info on what those announcements were that the pilots were making in flight?
Well, anyone that flies Qantas will know, but I mean, they're wearing red ties at the moment. All they're doing is saying that they want Qantas pilots, Australian pilots in Australian Qantas aircraft. That's right. Really what that's really what all the statement's about.
Right.
You know, just reinforces that's what the dispute's about for the pilots. It's about Australian jobs and it's about maintaining standards, Australian standards. The same as what the engineers dispute is about, really. But in the pilots' situation, they're probably a little bit more easily undermined on a local level because, you know, pilots can be trained more quickly than us, I suppose, but still very, very difficult to get pilots of the calibre of the Qantas pilots, you know, extremely talented guys at the top of their field. You know, and just unbelievably good at saving situations. And they've saved Qantas numerous accidents, in my view, simply through their skill, you know. And that's something that the company's also prepared to give away, you know, for where they can get their pilots for, you know, a few $1,000s cheaper. They're prepared to move on from that model that's done them so well in the past.
Is it still true, John, that Qantas has never had a fatal air crash? Are there any exceptions to that?
No, we have had fatal air crashes before the jet age. In the jet age, right. We haven't had fatal air crashes.
Right, which is a long time. That's like 40,
yeah,
50 years.
Yeah, so we're the only company in the world or only airline in the world that can boast that. Obviously, you know, as far as, you know, safety and setting records in engineering as well, we've done that. You know, we're viewed as the best operational airline in the world for many, many years and, you know, probably the most reliable as well. So, yeah, but, I mean, the government, I mean, well, obviously the government and the company are prepared to let that go and in favour of this world's best practice model. It'll just be interesting to see whether the Gillard government takes this opportunity to do something about Australia's national sovereignty and about keeping jobs in Australia. They talk that talk all the time, but whether or not they're actually prepared to do something about it is yet to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really edge of the seat kind of situation. I mean, I just can't predict. I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, what's your best guess at what actually will happen over the next 24 hours?
Well, I think the best educated guess is the government will act to get the airline back in the air, and there'll be a arbitration of the industrial dispute of all three unions.
Right, and that'll take a while.
But
that'll
doesn't
take
mean
months.
That Qantas will be satisfied with that. After that arbitration, if it doesn't go the way they like, Qantas could still choose to basically shut down the international side of the operation. They've definitely postulated that they might do that if the outcome's not what they like. They know that the outcome with ongoing industrial action, like they know that we're going to win the industrial argument. That's maybe where the issue is. That's why they've done what they've done.
Right. But it's definitely true that the government has the power to get the planes flying right now. And
they
I think
do,
that's
yeah.
really important because I don't think that's become clear in the media at all. Well, obviously that would be the best thing. I don't know why they haven't done it already. To be something to be concerned about. Any final statements you want to make, John? We're just about out of time.
No, just mate, we're all flying tonight or tomorrow, and yeah.
Great.
All right.
Yeah, look, thanks a lot for that, John. Good luck with everything tomorrow.
No worries.
Thanks mate. Everyone. Cheers.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, that's a wrap from TNRA. I hope you enjoyed that show. Pretty interesting situation. By the time this podcast goes out, you'll probably know the outcome.
The Bible remains the most popular book in the world, yet countless readers are frustrated because they struggle to understand it. Some new translations try to help by simplifying the text, but in the process can compromise the profound meaning of the Scripture. Enter the Recovery Version. First, this new translation is extremely faithful and accurate, but the real story is the more than 9,000 explanatory footnotes. Difficult and profound passages are opened up in a marvelous way, providing an entrance into the riches of the Word beyond which you've ever experienced before. Bibles for America would like to give you a free recovery version simply for the asking. This comprehensive yet compact study Bible is yours just by calling us toll-free at 1-888-551-0102 or by ordering online at freestudybible.com. That's freestudybible.com.